إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the third of the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu used to describe His connection with us. As I mentioned in the first of these series, the first one is the word khashya, and khashyatullah is a result of knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His glorious attributes, His majesty, His magnificence, the greatness of His kingdom. This results in khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is the hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as a characteristic of the believers, that they have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inculcated by making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given us. And this shukr, as we mentioned yesterday, is something that it is our job to continue to make it, but also to know that we can never really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves to be thanked, just as we cannot praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves to be praised. Because, as I said yesterday, there are two things that we do not have the words to actually describe. One is the greatness of Allah, and the second one is our own insignificance. These two are not possible to describe. The greatness of Allah is beyond anything that we can say, and our insignificance is less than anything that we can say. And that's the reason why the beautiful dhikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which yesterday as we were going out, Hafiz bhai reminded me, where we have the hadith of Jubairiyah radiallahu anha, our mother and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where she said that one day she prayed Fajr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed in her apartment, he went out, and then he came back almost at the time of Zuhr, and he found her sitting in the same place. So he asked her, he said, "Are you sitting here from the time I left you?" She said, "Yes." So now if you think about that, from the time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have prayed the sunnah of Fajr, and he would have gone to the masjid to pray the Fard, and then he would have left for whatever he was doing, and he came back at the time of Zuhr, so that's how long? I mean, if you take that time, maybe 6 hours or something like this. So he said, "Are you been sitting here?" She said, "Yes." She said, "You doing what?" He said, "I'm doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So he said to her, "If you had said 3 times what I said, Allah would have given you the same reward. The same reward for doing 6 hours of dhikr." And that he taught her this dua and this dhikr, where he said, "Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimatihi." Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, all praise and all glory and all magnificence and all thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, equal to the count of His creation, all that Allah created. Now just imagine that one term, adada khalqi, equal to the total number of atoms that exist in the universe. Equal to, just imagine, I mean, equal to what? I mean, if you look at the galaxies, for example, they tell us that, you know, there are billions and billions of galaxies, and each galaxy has billions and billions of stars. So it's quite impossible. Only Allah knows the adad of what He created. We don't know how many snowflakes are there in a in snow that falls on this earth alone, and this earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. So adad khalqi, how much? Equal to that. Adad khalqi wa rida nafsi, until you are pleased. How much praise and how much thanks? As much as it takes to please You. وَزِينَةَ عَرْشِ, how much? According to the weight of Your throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the weight of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa midada kalimati, and according to the amount of ink it will take to write the words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentioned to us, Allah did not tell us how much it takes, Allah told us how much will not be enough. This is all the seven seas and then another equal amount, still not enough. So he didn't say how much it takes, he said all this will not be enough. So this is the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that if you say this three times, this whole thing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 6 hours of dhikr. So before we go any further, let us take this reward inshallah. So let us say subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to give us the reward of 6 hours of zikr inshallah by saying this. And let us make this as part of our morning azkar and part of our night azkar, that we recite this. Alhamdulillah, inshallah Allah will give us the reward for this in keeping with His majesty and grace. So this, reflecting on this, thinking about this, and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces the hub, the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. We ask Allah to fill our hearts with muhabbat for Him inshaAllah. Today the third word, which is the word taqwa. Now if you take taqwa, as we know, as I mentioned before, taqwa is the concern not to displease Allah. Taqwa is the concern, is the fear of displeasing Allah. It's not the fear of Allah, it's the fear of displeasing Allah. And why would you fear to displease Allah? Because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not want to displease the one that you love more than anything else and more than anyone else. So now if you take these three things and put them together, khashyatullah is a feeling that comes from reflecting on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of that khashyat, it produces hub, it produces the love of Allah, because when we reflect on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically you reflect on how does it affect me. And we say alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has benefited me, has given me from His greatness, has given me my rizq, He has given me iman, He has given me the opportunity to make tawbah and return to Him and so on. So this hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two together, the khashyat of Allah and the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, produce this quality of taqwa. Now khashyat and hub are inside us. These are states of the heart. The khashyat of Allah and the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are inside. Taqwa is the outward manifestation of this inner state. A muttaqi is somebody who behaves in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is in the outside world. A muttaqi is one who prays. You can't say, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my heart is filled with the khashyat of Allah, and then at the time of salah you're not praying, then that means obviously your heart is not filled with the khashyat of Allah. How can you have a heart which is filled with khashyat of Allah and you do not make sujood when the time comes to pray? So taqwa is the outward manifestation of the inner state. Taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Why? Because we are not sure. Does it please Allah or does it not please Allah? Please notice, I'm not saying taqwa is to avoid the harm. To avoiding harm is... It is obvious. I mean, for a Muslim to deliberately do something which is haram, this is a very serious sign of major sickness of iman and sickness of the heart. How can you have iman, how can you claim to have iman when you deliberately do something knowing it is wrong? So when we say muttaqi, we are talking about somebody who does not deliberately do something which is wrong, but he might do something which is doubtful without thinking about the fact that maybe this will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sign of taqwa is that you don't do that. So anything in which there is any doubt, you will not do it until you clarify this doubt. And then you find, okay, that doubt was not there. Alhamdulillah, it is halal. We can do this. Most welcome. Please do it. And or conversely, you find that, alhamdulillah, Allah saved me, because when I now check the doubt, this is something that I should not be doing. So taqwa is to avoid the doubtful, not to avoid the haram, that obviously is there, but to avoid the doubtful, which is a step beyond that. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described taqwa, and he said this is like a shepherd grazing. He said all kings have their boundaries, and the boundary of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who is the Malikul Haqq, he is the actual and the only real king, and the boundary of Allah are the hudud. They are the boundaries that Islam sets. He said a person, if a shepherd is grazing his sheep and he comes too close to the boundary of the king, then it is possible that some sheep will go across the boundary into the king's land and the shepherd gets into trouble. So if you are a shepherd grazing sheep and you know that there is a boundary of the king, then you don't even go close to the boundary. You keep your sheep away from the boundary. So the question of crossing the boundary does not arise because you do not even go close to the boundary. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places in the Quran, Allah said, La taqrabuha. He said, do not go near it. Allah did not say, don't do it or don't go and cross it. He said, don't even go near it. Do not even go near it. So, and that's a sign of taqwa. Somebody asked Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, describe taqwa, what is taqwa? He said, if you have to go through walk on a very narrow path, between thorn bushes, a lot of thorny bushes, and the path is very narrow, what will you do? He said, I will gather my garments close to my body and hold everything close, and then I will walk very carefully, because if I don't do that, then the garments will snag on the thorns and they will get torn. He said, that is taqwa. He said, this is taqwa. To hold yourself close, ihtiyat, being careful with your life. Not living life, carelessly, not living life thoughtlessly, but to be very careful with what do I do with my time, what kind of decisions do I make, how do I earn, where do I spend, what do I eat, how do I speak, how do I deal with people, everything. So doing whatever we do, but doing it carefully, thoughtfully, not carelessly and thoughtlessly. This is taqwa. Because why are you doing all of this? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The single point agenda of a Muslim is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And that's a great agenda, because we can please people by fooling them. Sometimes, you say nice things and so on, people are fooled. You can please people by pretending to be something which you are not. So people go by those and say, MashaAllah, such a wonderful person, but they don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot fool. We cannot pretend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are conscious of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah our actions will be pure and our intention will also be pure. So that is taqwa. So this is the connection between khashyat and the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taqwa. So if we want to develop taqwa, then we must work on these two things. On developing khashyatullah by knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, developing the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by reflecting on and thanking Allah for His bounties and His grace and His ni'mat. And then as a consequence of these two things, inshallah, taqwa will develop. And taqwa is the foundation of all everything which is good. And all the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakah comes from taqwa. All the du'as of the muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are all for the muttaqoon. And this is how you develop taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us, to enable us to develop taqwa and to accept it from us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.